We're going to talk about Reboot because this has been something that's been on our hearts this last few weeks, and we've actually started this in terms of church and a vision for the next few months. And what it encompasses joy, it's going after mission, and then it's going after dreaming big. And these are some of the big things that we're doing, and you're going to hear a lot more about them. We've already started some things. We want to have joy and fun because we're coming back into a season where church is back and people are back and good things are happening. And I want to remind you that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. God loves fun. He's the author of fun. And so never get that the other way around. This is the enemy's all about fun. No. God created fun and he loves it and he wants his people to be joyful. So we're thinking about joy. We're thinking about mission because we're coming up to our I Heart Armada time. And then, of course, we're thinking about we want to dream big because, again, this last year or so has been one of those times where maybe you've been restricted, you've had to go small, you've had to withdraw in, you've had to stay still, and you can quickly forget that we are men and women of God that are here to do exploits for the kingdom of God. And so maybe over this next few while, we're going to have various different people. John's going to be back speaking again next week, and there's going to be various different things happening over the summer, but our overall theme will be, how do we reboot in life? How do we reboot in the spirit? How do we get going again, but better than ever? And so my first question as we are thinking about this today is, have you ever had to reboot something? You know, like reboot your device or your iPhone or your phone or your laptop or computer. Well, it tends like you have to do this, and many times you might have to do this, and yet sometimes it feels like a drag, doesn't it? Because you're like, I'm trying to do some work, I'm trying to make a phone call, and I'm going to have to reboot my device. Now, it could be for many different reasons. It could be there's an error. It could be there's a virus. I mean, heaven forbid you don't want a virus on your computer or phone because it could be catastrophe. It could be just there's a big issue that needs resolved. But then there's this fourth option, and of course there's many more options, but one that I'm thinking about today is that you reboot because you've had a software update, and when you reboot the device back up again, you're going to have better stuff than you had before. And I think that God's really trying to grab our hearts over this next season and say, look, as my people, I want to reboot you. If you're a Christian, then you're being rebooted. Rebooted to the fact that, look, there's more than you know. There's so much more about your life than you realize. And even though in this season of restriction, you can be like Paul and Silas, rejoice in prison and see great things take place. Even like the heavenly man. I don't know if you've ever seen that book or read that book. Brother Young, it's just incredible. The Lord just delivers him right out of prison because no matter where he found himself, he realized the Lord can do new things. The Lord can do great things. And so I feel like God's leading us into a season, and he's already begun this season of let's reboot. Let's reassess. Let's remind ourselves of the great things that the Lord is doing every single day in our lives so that we will go forth with favor and with blessing and with confidence. And so when you get that software update on your phone, it's like, wow, I wonder what new features I'm going to have. I wonder what new things are going to take place. But anytime an upgrade comes, it changes everything. And I wrote down just a couple of things to think about. Wasn't possible before, now is possible. It's like maybe before your phone didn't do this, or your laptop didn't do that, or your computer didn't do this. You get the upgrade and suddenly it can do stuff it never did before. And this is the same for us in Christ. And this is why we need to think about it today, because whenever you're a new creation in Christ, everything changes. You went from death to life, but it's the same as a Christian, because the more that you come to know God, the more you realize, wow, I can pray for the sick and see them recover in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course you can. Matthew 10:8. You can pray for the lepers and see them healed and restored. You can raise the dead. I mean, you can do all of these things as God moves through you, as the Spirit of God moves through us. And I firmly believe it because I've seen it in my own life. The only thing that limits us is the stuff that's up to here, you know, like our brain and what we think about and what we dwell on, what we meditate on. Because I'm convinced, just like what Proverbs says, if you're around the right people, you'll think and do the right things. But bad company corrupts good character. And so we need to make sure we're around the right things and we're being refreshed every day in the Spirit. We're pursuing the things of the Spirit. I want to be rebooted because things that weren't possible before suddenly become possible. Maybe you need this today. What was missing is now there. This is the other thing. When you get upgrades, there might have been some things that were missing before and you're saying, I really wish my phone would do this. And suddenly the upgrade comes and you get it. Or even better yet, you didn't know your phone didn't do this, but you got the new upgrade and it did something you didn't know was possible. And you're like, this is even better than before. This is incredible. I love this feature. And it's the same with our lives. Maybe problems get fixed. Maybe there was problems, there was bugs, there was errors. This is another reason for upgrades, because something gets fixed that wasn't resolved before and now it is. exactly the same in our lives. There are things in our lives, and as we get rebooted in the things of the Spirit, as we get rebooted in the things of God, we are different people. But it's our job to see what's different, what's changed, and to pursue after the things of God. Everything is completely different. And Jesus has done this in our lives if we know Him. Our reboot keeps getting better and better, and you just keep discovering new and more important features all along the way. And that's just our devices, our electronic devices, or whatever it is you have in your life. But imagine when it comes to your life, this is what God's doing. Every single day it's getting better. Let me read Philippians 1:9. This is what it says. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians. He wanted to encourage the people. It's a very short letter. It's only got 4 chapters, but I would love you to go and check it out because it's so important to what we're talking about today. He says this in verse 9. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Think about this thing. He says that your love will overflow more and more and more and more and more. That's really the heart of what he said. It's just more and more and more. It's that the love of God would just continue to flood you and overflow you more and more and more. And this is God's promise. And this is, in a sense, God's responsibility. And when it comes to life, I know we don't like it sometimes, but we all have responsibilities. And it's exactly the same in the things of the Spirit. Now, here's our responsibility, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. My responsibility is that I'll keep seeking out the things of God. My responsibility is I'll keep seeking out all the good new features that God's done in my life, all the new things that God's done in my life. And of course, our first reboot is to become new in the Spirit. It's our rebirth, in a sense, and we were dead and then we come alive. But every day God's doing something, and every day we've got to tune in and tune up with that. Otherwise, we miss out on the benefits of that. And I started to think about what's the real challenge of what God's doing in our lives. It's not that God's not doing His part. He's always doing His part. But the real challenge for me, and maybe it's exactly the same with you, is that I have to perceive it, I have to recognize it, I have to discover it, I have to commit to keeping on searching after the things of God, I have to keep on reading, keep on praying, keep on after going after the things of God. Otherwise, the new benefits that He's adding to my life will be of no benefit, and I might as well not have them. It's like the early days. I don't know if anybody remembers back to the old phones, the early phones. I mean, even if you can't remember this far back to you had Snake on a phone, you could remember back to phones that weren't touchscreen. I mean, it has went so quickly. In 20 years or less, phones have just went from one place to the next. In the early days, a phone was just a phone. It sent, you could ring up, and I think you might have been able to make a text. No, in the very, very early days, just phone, just ring. And then it was text messages and phoning. And then people started to text more than we were phoning. And then we said we're a bit bored with our phones, so we should put a game on so we can play with our phones. And now, literally, your phone is your world. It's crazy. I mean, we have to have detox programs to get people off phones, send them on holidays, lock your phones up for the night, put your phone downstairs, because they want to grab so much of our lives. And of course, the people that create them realize this, and so they build it even harder. They build the technology in to grab your attention even more. It's just mind-blowing. Even the very light, the touch, the signs, it's all there to grab your attention, to keep you as long as possible. Why? Not because they want you to love their phone. They do want you to love their phone, but because they get money through advertising. And the more time you're on the phone, the more data they get from you, the more the whole thing works. It's all about the money. And so I really want to encourage you that we have to remember this and reassess at all times, because if we don't, all this new stuff starts to grab our attention and we get distracted from the things of God. But look at the journey the phone has made in a short space of time, 20, 30 years, from just something to phones, to all the way through that it can manage your life. It can text, it can phone call, it can video, you can edit, you can do all sorts of things. You can do a movie on your phone. Some people have recorded movies on their phone and literally released them. It's that good. But guys, we gotta understand that our new life in Christ is even better. And the real sad part would be is that you're rebooted into the things of God. You're rebirthed into the things of God. And you don't realize that every single day, every single morning, every single next day, next day, next day, the Lord is rebooting you. It's like literally every time you go to sleep and you wake up the next day, or every time you spend time in the Word, or every time you pray, or every time you just like soak in the presence of God, He reboots you with new features and new things that you didn't even realize were there before. He's constantly doing new things in your life. And I wonder today if anybody needs a reboot. I'm saying it because I want it. I definitely want it. And I don't think it's needed because, remember, it's not about problems necessarily. It's about what's God doing for you to come up the next time having more, knowing more, understanding what he's doing more. And I want to pursue this and I want to go after this. And I feel like this is what God's trying to grab our attention on. Verse 10 of Philippians 1 says this, "For I want you to understand what really matters." Paul wants to speak to our minds today. He wants to grab our attention so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled, verse 11, with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Christ Jesus, for this will bring you much glory and praise to God. Paul's literally saying, this is so important. I want you to understand it. Look at the first line. I want you to understand what really matters. In other words, he's saying, I want you to grab what life's really all about. Let's not just drift through life. Let's not just wander through life. Let's not let life happen to us. Let's seize what life is doing and let's grab a hold of our lives and say, okay, what's my life about? And I believe the more that we start to ask that question, the more that we discover that question, especially if you're a Christian, you're going to say, I want it all for Jesus. But if you're not a Christian, then maybe you're going to say, hey, I've tried different avenues. I might even have went different avenues. I might even think I'm going to try different things. But I'm going to assure you that no matter what you try, you will never fully satisfy what your life's all about until you find it in Jesus. It's incredible. And like we talked about last time, if you missed it, go check it out. He's my one thing. And when I discover my one thing is in Christ, then I don't need any other thing. And I literally get away from other things because all I want is my one thing because I realize everything else is going to distract me. And guys, we're here today to say, hey, let's take another step forward into this one thing and realize that God wants to reboot our lives afresh every day in the same way as we're breathing, in the same way as we're eating, so we will fully understand who we are in Christ. And so what's the important truths from what we've just shared? Number one is Jesus is coming back. We got to understand that Jesus is coming back. So there's an urgency to our lives. There's an urgency to what we need to do with our lives. And there's an urgency to share the good news that we have received in our lives so that other people can receive it also. I want to share my faith with people. I want to be Jesus to people. That's literally what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to go into people's lives and literally help, care, love, give them opportunity to hear. And then you wouldn't believe it. They might turn around and go, hey, I want the same Jesus that you talk about. I want the same life that you have. And then you get to share the gospel with people. This should be and is the delight of our lives because this is really the only thing that matters. If Jesus is your one thing, then all you want is for other people to find that one thing also. And then look what it says at the end part, that you would produce your life by Jesus Christ, that Jesus would literally work through your life, but that you would bring much glory and praise to God. We are here also to share our faith, of course, but to bring glory and praise to God. That's all that life's really about. It's those two things. You can bring it all the way down to these two things. And that's why God wants to reboot our lives so that we will remind ourselves of who we are and what we are about. If we don't do this, guess what tends to happen? We tend to return back to our old lives. I mean, we're talking about all the re's right now, but you were rebirth, which is like a reboot, and then you start to follow after God and you live for God. But I tell you, if there's any point that you start to create distance or you start to go a different way, watch how your life starts to U-turn and you start to return back to what you knew. The early disciples did it. I've done it. You've possibly done it. We all tend to do it if we don't continue to pursue a life after the things of God and really commit to that and really go after that. Here's what I've discovered is that before we came to Christ, our minds are really important to us. Our hearts are really important. You get some people are led by their heart. They just get the feels. You know, it's just like, it feels good. I'm going to do it. You get other people are much more analytical. Like, we work this thing out. I try it out before I do it. And they are either led by their hearts or they're led by their heads. But when you come to Christ, literally what's taking place is the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And now, instead of being led by all those other things, you're to be led by the Spirit. I mean, this is the ultimate goal of our lives because in the Garden of Eden, this is the way we were being led. And then sin comes, and what happens? It awakens our minds to things that we never need to be awakened to. And suddenly we start to be led by fear and worry and doubt and concern. And so maybe today you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I need a reboot, but I tell you what I need is freedom from fear, freedom from doubt, freedom from worry. I'm fed up with anxiety, and I'm fed up with all these negative thoughts that I don't seem to be able to get away from. I'm going to tell you, you need a reboot back to the things of God where you follow after him in spirit and in truth. When you're led by the spirit more than your heart or your head, but you're led by the things of God and you're committed to the things of God and you're going after him in every way. We're the spirit, we're spiritual people, but our mind is constantly trying to get back in control again. And we've got to fight that and say, okay, I want to take control of my mind and surrender it to Christ. And this is literally what Paul's doing. He says, we can cultivate our minds so that we understand the new life that we're living in. Because if you don't understand it, you might as well not have this new life. Yes, heaven is taken care of, but God wants us to understand the abundant life that we've got right now. So remember this, every single time that he's rebooting us, every single time he's refreshing us, every single time we're with God, it's reminding us again of what we're about, whose we are, what we're called to do, who we belong to, and what am I here to seek, and what am I here to do for the kingdom of God. I literally believe our job is to recognize the upgrades and reboot our brains. That's really it. I mean, it sounds gross, it sounds weird, but it's literally to recognize the upgrades that God has done in our lives. I'm no longer a slave to doubt and to sin and to fear. I'm a child of God, but I need to remind myself of that every day. I mean, he's called me to great purposes, not just work where I'm working, and there's nothing wrong with work. God loves work, he appreciates work, but I'm called to higher things, I'm called to kingdom things, and I've got to remind myself of that. My goal is not just to serve myself, I'm to be like Christ, to serve others, to literally lay down my life for the sake of other people. That's the goal of my life, and so much more. And so here's God's heart. God's heart is that we would understand the Word and we understand the Spirit. Here, I wrote down just a couple of quick thoughts. The Bible helps us to understand our new life in Christ, and the Holy Spirit helps us to lead, to live and to lead in the Spirit. And it's literally like the Bible gives us a working knowledge. It allows us to understand, what's this really about? You know, I've got this new thing. Maybe you got this, new device, or you got this new thing or a new car, whatever it is, but something new in your life and you're unsure how it works. You go to the instructions. You go to the book that tells you all about it. Well, God's saying the same for us. As Christians, our desire should be to hunger for the Word and to press into the things of God and to learn more about the Bible, to learn more about the things of God, because the more that I understand, the more I'll be able to step into, the more I'll be able to activate by faith in my life. But then, of course, I've got the Spirit, and the Spirit, he comes close to me, and he's alive inside of me, and he helps me when I can't help myself, and he enables me to read, and he calls me into truth, and he speaks to me, and he gives me the feelings and the experiences with God that a book can never do. But God is here today and says, I want my people to be Word-based and Spirit-based. I want that complete connection. I want that togetherness. And this is really the desire of the heart of God, is that we would know him in Word and Spirit. We would know him in power and truth. We would know him in substance, and we would experience. And God says, this is what I want with your life. The Bible helps us to read about this new life, and the Spirit helps us to live in this new life. And this is the heart of God, that we would understand the upgrades, that we understand the things that he's doing. And so we need to follow God, and we need to learn from all the new God is doing in us. And so I thought about, what do we need to do? Well, I think we need to be committed to prayer, because communication is the key to every relationship, and that's what God's brought us into. And I wrote down just a couple of prayers that prayer ideas or prayer thoughts that maybe you want to think about that could maybe help you in your journey of like stepping fully into this new life in Christ and what he has called me to. Number one, God, where are you leading me today, and what are your plans for me? Imagine now just for a moment what your life would look like if this was the desire and prayer of your heart. Like, Lord, what's your plans for me today? I know if to go to work. I know if you need to do. I know of an assignment to do. I know of exams to come to get prepared for and get ready for. But God, what are you calling me to? What is the big dream of your heart for my life today? You may think, well, surely who am I to think this? But I'm telling you, this is what God has planned for us in advance for good works. He has planned in advance for us the things to do. He's already pre-prepared these things. And he simply says, by faith, I want you to step into them. And of course, he says, hey, I've given you free will. I've given you choice. So you decide if you want to pray this stuff. But my encouragement is, God, this is your day. This is my life is yours. I've given you my life. Where are we going today? What's the journey today? Where are you calling me? Where are you bringing me? And number two, God, teach me these new things. Teach me to understand your ways. Teach me to understand how you pray. I mean, the early disciples did that with Jesus. They literally said, Jesus, the way you pray is not like the way we pray. What are we doing wrong? Help us, teach us. I just think in life, no matter who you are, no matter what age you are, we need teachable spirits. We need hungry spirits. I want to learn. I want to be a learner. I want to be committed to to learn in all the days of my life. You can learn lots of other great things, but I want to learn more and more the things of God, because no eye has seen and no ear has heard of all the things that God has prepared in advance for us. And guys, He's prepared some incredible things, and I don't want to wait to eternity. I don't want to wait to heaven to go, oh man, I didn't know I could have done this. Now, have I seen Him be raised from the dead yet? Not yet. But I'm believing that God might want to work through me like that. And the more that I commit to Him, by faith I could see things. I mean, He has planned great things. And I've seen some great things. But I know I've only scratched the surface. There is so much more to go. And so we're people. Let me prophesy this over our hearts. We're people committed to grow in Jesus. People committed to grow in Him. People committed to grow in our faith with Him, and we're going to go for it. So, I mean, we've mentioned it before, but what are you going to do? I mean, you get the Bible, of course. You got to get hungry for the Word. I'm telling you, if you're struggling with a translation, get a different one. If you're struggling to read, listen to the audio. I mean, if you're struggling with all of that, get a dramatized version. You've got to get the Word of God in, because it teaches us things that you will not learn any other way. And just like if you go to a restaurant, you wouldn't want to eat off somebody else's table. You definitely wouldn't want to eat off somebody else's plate. But as Christians, we do this all the time. You go on Sunday, you listen maybe to my message or somebody else's message. Now, that's an honor and that's a privilege, and I'm deeply honored and deeply privileged that you would do that. But at the same time, I want to make sure that you're in no doubts. I want you to eat firsthand as well. I want you to get into the Word and learn for what God wants to teach you, because you're not going to learn everything you need to learn in church. Let me just tell you, and I love church, and I'm not against church. And I mean, the Lord's called me this, and I lay my life down for the church, which is the people, of course, every single day, or at least that's my goal. But I know this, my spiritual walk and my spiritual growth is on me. Now, God has put the right people in my life. He's put the right people, church people in my life. But it's first and foremost my responsibility. And so I've got to go after the things of God if I want to be filled with the things of God. I've got to go after the things of God if I want to understand fully the things that God has called me to. And I don't want to be limited by the limit of my information, or at least the limit of my intention. And we've said it before again many times. When you're a Christian and you're living by grace, it doesn't mean you don't put any effort in. It just means that you can put even more effort in, because the grace of God will sustain you and take you to places you couldn't do in your own natural self. So you got to read, you got to pray, you got to get the right books around you, right people around you. You're hungry for conferences, you're hungry for podcasts, you're hungry for sermons, you're just hungry for the things of God. And I tell you, books, I've heard all the time, I am not a reader. I've never ever liked books. I mean, movies are much easier, life is much easier, listening is much easier, talk is much easier. But books have changed my life. And I might not have read as much as I want to, but I can remember at key points in my life, not just the Bible, but a key book I read in my early 20s, transformed my life, about David Wilkerson and the cross and the switchblade. Oh my gosh, that book transformed my life. Or Good Morning, Holy Spirit has come up again in our conversations as a team. I read that book, it transformed my life. It was absolutely incredible. But just key books along the way that transformed me. Can I encourage you? You may not be a reader, but I tell you, most people aren't anything until you give it a go. And then you say, okay, I'm going to commit to this thing. I'm going to go for this thing. So train yourself. And this is really what Paul's saying. And this is really the heart of the message today. In Philippians, Paul says, you need to train yourself well. You need to get mature in the things of God. You need to cultivate this new mindset in Christ. It's not going to happen automatically. Your new life in Christ will. But your brain, your mind, your thoughts, you're going to have to take them captive. And we're about to read it. So do you need a reboot today? Philippians 4:8, this is what it says. And now, dear brothers and sisters, and like we said last time, anytime you read this, it's to Christians, not just to anybody, but to believers. One final thing. Last time we read Paul saying this one thing, he's going to say one final thing. I need you to know this, church. I need you to know this, people. I need you to grab this in your heart. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable, right and pure, lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Paul wants his people to cultivate this mindset. Come on, we are people that are going to think differently, act differently, we're going to go differently. And to really affect our lives, you've got to affect your thinking. To really affect the way that you go about your life, you've got to affect your thoughts. You've got to take your thoughts captive, and we can do that. And we have the mind of Christ, but it's a work in progress as the Holy Spirit enables us and helps us. And so when we get out of sync with God, here's what I find. We tend to focus on the wrong things. Now, when we're in sync with God, then think about this. What's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable just seems to happen. Just seems to flow out of people. I love that. I love it when you meet people and you just see them, you see their integrity. And of course, integrity is a big thing for us. It's the I in vibe. It's not saying we're perfect, but we're trying to go after this things of integrity and live as people of integrity. But there's something about when you come around someone and they're pure and they're honest and they're fighting for the right things. There's just something about their spirit. There's something about the fruit in their lives. You just want to be around them. It's attractional. It's incredible. It's infectious. It gets into other people's lives. You say, I want to live like that. This is who Jesus was and more. He's just incredible. But have you ever noticed that when you get stressed, I'm going to be honest, maybe this is me giving personal testimony now. It could be for you as well. When I'm stressed, I'm not thinking about lovely or admirable things. Come on, you know this. Whenever I get stressed, I'm not fixing these things. In fact, I'm on the opposite. If I can do harm or provoke or get a kick, I'll go for it because I'm stressed and I need anything just to make me feel not so bad in my stress. When I'm far from God, the impure and wrong things, they seem better. Come on, let's be real. When you are far from God, distant from God, even as a Christian, impure thoughts, bad stuff, it almost starts to seem good. And you're like, oh, well, so be it. Yeah, I'm just going to go for it. Like, I'm praying for forgiveness later anyway. Come on, we've all been there. When you're tired or worn out or broken or worrying, I'm definitely not thinking about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Wow. Let this convict our hearts just for a moment. But what Paul says, what we got to do is we got to fix our eyes on these things. This should be our first intention. And unless we reboot in the Spirit every day, we are not going to think like this. Unless we reboot in the things of the Spirit, then I will not be drawn to truth and honor and right, and I'll be drawn to wrong, and I won't be drawn to purity, and I won't be drawn to lovely, and I won't be drawn to admirable. I'll just do whatever it takes to get through. And this is the very opposite of this new mindset in Christ. So what am I saying today? I'm saying this. This is not going to happen automatically. This is something you're going to have to work at. This is something you're going to have to go after. But look at the promise that Paul gives us. He gave it to the Philippians and he gives it to us today. Keep putting into practice all you learned. You got to do something with this and receive from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. So it can't just be talk. It's got to be walk. It can't just be what you say. It's got to be what you do. And this is so important for our lives because our kids won't do what you tell them to do. They'll do what they see you doing. This is always the way it goes. They copy. They just don't listen. Then the God of peace will be with you. The promise is that if we keep going, if we're faithful to God, if we put in the practice, if we're dedicated to the things of God, if we'll read when it's hard, pray when it's hard, get up when it's tough, keep going when it's really hard and really difficult, keep doing the right things, keep seeking after the right things, and keep trying to be pure and lovely and kind and generous, even when we don't feel like it, he promises to bring us peace. Then the God of peace will be with you. And when God's with you, everything changes. And so how do you change this way? And how do you keep going this direction? Look how practical Paul makes it. Number one, he says, fix your thoughts on. Fix your thoughts on? Okay, so God's going to keep loving me and he's going to be pouring in his love every single day. But I have to keep fixing my thoughts on him and what's pure and lovely and generous and kind and holy and admirable. That's my duty. That's what I'm called to do. And I don't know if you've ever thought this before, but like, what if we woke up every single day, okay, and said, God, right, okay, today I'm going after truthful things, honorable things, right things, pure things, lovely things, admirable things. We're going to have to do this. You're going to have to train your brain. People do Sudoku to train their brain to do better maths. They do crosswords, all these different puzzles to train their brain. We need to train our brain with the things of God and watch how it transforms us. And tell you, the more you spend time in the things of God, the more you let it wash over your life in worship, in prayer, in reading, in the Bible, in his presence, the more you will think like this. But it won't happen by accident. It will only happen by intention. We've got to have the right intentions in our lives. Number one was fix. Fix your thoughts on. But then he goes on to think about what is excellent and worthy of praise. I mean, if you're not thinking about this, then you're thinking about other things, which means you need a reboot. You need a reboot in your life because otherwise you're not going to be able to lead and live in the things that God's called you to. And then lastly, keep putting into practice. I mean, do we think about this? But you've got to practice reading the Word of God. You've got to practice praying. I'm sorry, I know I'm a Spirit-led, filled believer. I love the Spirit. But I tell you what, I've had to practice hard to go after the things of God. I've had to be dedicated to the things of God. It hasn't just been go with the feels and go with the goosebumps and go with this. I've dedicated. And can I do a whole lot better? Absolutely. I am not finished yet. I'm trying hard in the things of the Spirit, and I'm going by His grace, but I have to practice the things of God. When was the last time you practiced being kind, practiced being gentle, practiced being admirable, practiced going after pure things and holy things and kind things and being praiseworthy and going after the things that God's called you to? And so what are we called to? We're called to God things and holy things. This is the desire of our heart, guys. This is really what God's calling us to. And why? Because God has a plan for your life. And we'll stop where we started, which is overflowing with joy. We're going to have to joy in these next few months. We're going after mission. You are full of eternal purpose. But if you go after the wrong stuff, then you won't get the right things. You won't have that purpose and that fulfillment, that satisfaction. And then dreaming big. So big that it takes God to work with you to accomplish it. This is what God's called you to in your life. Now, this last year has been horrendous for so many people and in so many ways. But to each one of us, it's been specific in how it's found us. Whether it be health or education or can't do this or can't do my work or been stuck at home, loneliness, it's been all sorts of different things. But what if today we simply say, God, come and reboot my life. Come and reboot my thinking. I want to change in my thinking. I want to change in my actions. I want to change in my words. I want to change in my life because I know you've called me to more. And this is the heart of all we're talking about. Come on, guys. I don't want to wait to the end and go, oh, wow, I had this and I could have done that. If I only had pursued this and only practiced here and only went after that. I want to go today. I want to put in the work. I want to go after the things of God. And I want to retrain my mind and create a new culture in my thinking that thinks about the things of God first, which allows me to go after the things of God in my life. This one thing, Jesus. This one thing I want to think about today is retrain, refocus, go after, reboot into the things of God. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I just thank you for everybody that's tuned in. And thank you, Lord, for all the things you're doing. And Lord, we're so mindful that there might be some people today that's listening that have never given their lives to Jesus before. And I want to encourage you, the first reboot is rebirth. And what that simply means is that if we put our trust in Jesus, He comes in, He takes away the rubbish from our lives, the sin, the rejection, the hopelessness, the emptiness. He takes it all away and He floods us with His love. And suddenly our lives are never the same. And in fact, what the Word promises is that we go from dead to life. We go from no good to all good. We go from hopelessness to hopeful. And we start to overflow in the things of God. And all it requires is a yes to Jesus, to recognize who we are, to recognize that our lives are just no good without Him. And to say, Jesus, I want you to take over. I give you my life. Come and save me. And He's so faithful, He will. But as we give our lives to Christ and we follow after Him, He says, every day I want to reboot your old thinking. Every day I want to reboot what's going on in your life because I don't want you to return to the old ways. Lord, I pray for every heart, every life, every person that may be listening, watching. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you invade our hearts today, whether we realize it or not, and come and do something afresh and something anew because you're always doing new things. Lord, let us realize, let us be students of the Word. Let's be dedicated to change. Let's be people that go after the things of God and aren't just waiting, but are going searching because we know there's more in Jesus and He says what He says and what He says He means and I believe it. So Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, fill your people, anoint your people, and let us never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.